It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
Yo, police!
Recent historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to...
Yo, police!
Asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
Captain Radio here, inviting you to another episode of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show.
All right, welcome to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. This is Speak Out for Wednesday, January 7th, 2026, broadcasting from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with a sink. We have a sink now, Dan. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. Yes, folks, I really am here. Thank you, Paul, for putting me in the show.
No worries. I'm being retrained today, for
and
sure.
And that looks like a kitchen sink you have.
Well, it's courtesy of Wayne at Neat Pools.
You gotta love that.
Yeah, it's a toy, but we have pride in our sink, and of course, City Maytag located 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Dan De Los Santos is the co-host, or the host of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. I'm Paul Lavoie, the host of Speak Out. Dan, you have a very distinguished guest today. I'm really kind of proud of you.
Well, gee, thank you.
No problem. I'm
honored. Needless to say, you know, as the host of the show, we always try to find a unique topic and guest speaker for our shows. And this is our first show for 2026. And I got to tell you, growing up here, one of the things that I learned about as a young man was the Shimowave Reservation and Tribal Council. And I had the honor of knowing several individuals through the 70s as I was growing up. Also several kids, the 14 to 15 kids that grew up in Havasu Landing. So I had a unique opportunity that was provided to me, over the years. And I got to know several folks. And our guest speaker today is, the chairman for the Shimowave Tribal Council. And his name is Daniel Levis. And Daniel comes to us with an amazing amount of knowledge about not only the reservation, but all the intricate workings of the Tribal Council and some of the unique history that comes along with not only the tribe, but the land itself and the plight that it took to acquire that land. And so Dan and I have come up with a plan that today is going to be the 101 of the Shimowave educational concept for our show. We're going to host 3 to 4 additional shows, and each one will have a next level of information that applies to the reservation, the tribe, the council, and the important elements that they protect and that they have to offer for knowledge. So Daniel, you know, thank you so much for being here today. I can't thank you enough. Tell us about how it came about that you ended up, in the Shimowave Landing area.
Well, let me introduce myself first. Michael S. Hagaya, Nuk Nuk Shimowave, Nuk Swaba Atsi, Nuktantuvium.
Which translates to?
My name is Daniel Lavis. I am a Nuwu Chimwewi Duwats man. From a place called Suava Etsi. It's a place that is asleep right now below the lake.
Okay.
And, from the time before the water drank the land. And I'm a Chimwewi. We identify ourselves as a Chumwewi, which means the roadrunner moving with purpose. And that purpose, and they would have their head down and nose up, and they're running like the roadrunner coyote, you know. So, mm-hmm. so our people were traditionally great runners, travel from mountain range to mountain range in short times. And you kind of see how a roadrunner moves through the brush, and they're like the raptors, and they just, you know, flow through the land. And that's the way our runners were. They're spirit runners. So they could be in different places on the same day, you know. So it's just an honor and a privilege to be here today.
That's fantastic. You know, you and I talked a little bit about what basically folks don't know, and I'll tell you, they don't know almost anything. The only thing most folks know on this side of the lake is that there's a casino, that there's a Havasu Landing, and there's a Chimwewi Reservation. That is probably the extent of the knowledge of over 90% of the people on this side of the lake, and I'm sorry to say that, but we want to change that today. So today going forward, for all our listeners, make sure that you know that this show is being recorded. You can go back. You can listen. You can capture some information if you missed anything. So Daniel, how did the Chimwewis arrive in Havasu Landing area here along the river?
Okay. I'm going to go way back.
This is an interesting story.
I'm going to go way back before the landing was even considered
right.
A landing.
Right.
Right. Because, what I've learned throughout history is before the dams were built is a series of steamboat landings are going all the way up to
Lake Powell area.
They can go up there, yep. up to the canyons. And, so each place was like a landing spot, and that's how the Havasu Landing got its name. I believe there's another one called Liverpool Landing.
There is, just above, yes.
Black Meadow Landing, mm-hmm. and all these other little landing spots,
yes.
up and down the river.
Aubrey Landing, I think, is right there by where Parker Dam would be.
Right, right. So going back before then, you know, we were the Spaniards, and the Spaniards, you know, I believe Father Garces or
the conquistadors.
Yes, mm-hmm. they had come up into these lands and they're trying to map the lands and all that stuff, all that, you know. Excuse me. And so during that era and time, learning of our people's connection to this land and place, you know, it's kind of like a lifelong path of learning, I learned in association to the traditional ways of learning is, you know, that path, it would be the salt trail. And, that salt trail is what connects all the people, indigenous people that are in our creation stories.
Okay.
And that path is, associated with, the pre-colonial, a trade network that was established by the, all the tribes in the Southern California Southwest area.
Is that considered like a family tree?
Well, we are all a family tree. We are all rooted because we are all interwoven, interconnected together as different peoples from different places.
The story I got from Chairman Wood, was that there was one large tribe and it branched off into four. Is that correct? It, that's how I learned it. When it was the river, before it was the lake.
Well, there are around 15 bands of Southern Paiute / Chimwewi, Nuwu. The northern bands are identified as Southern Paiute.
Gotcha.
And then the southern bands are broken up into like a southern and a northern Chimwewi.
Okay.
And then we had our desert mountain Chimwewi. So, The main today we are represented by the Chimwewi Indian tribe, which is all those that came back during the time the tribe was being established and are based enrollees, and we got the Crit tribe, and where their Chemehuevis were previous to this tribe's establishment, mm-hmm. and then we have the 29 Palms band of, okay. of you know, and they're a mix with Serrano, Cahuilla, and Chemehuevi.
Where did the Aja Macav fit into that? They're also in our listening area.
Yes, Aja Macav is the Okanav and the human bands of peoples that go all the way up to the canyon, to the Supai and the Hualapai,
right.
and then the Mojave and here. And Parker on all the way down quits on, and it goes all the way out towards like the western northern Arizona, and our association with them is what I've learned is connected in creation stories. Those bands have always been here, and so they're the protectors of the river. And we are a mountain people per se, and we're not really a river people, though the river connection with the other tribes all around from like Indio to all the way up the river, and then on over to Mount Charleston, and on the other side of Mount Charleston, all the way down through the desert to the Kwaiatu connection too, because they speak Numa, and it's almost directly related to the Chemehuevi language. They're almost identical, with a few little differences here and there enunciations.
So one of the things that I posted on the advertisement for the Today Show was a map that actually dates back to where Liverpool Landing was there. But on the map, it talks about Chemehuevi Valley.
Right.
And I think it's really important for our listeners to understand that while they may perceive the reservation, the tribal members as being on one side of the lake, that's not really the case. The valley showed that it was simply not associated with California or Arizona. The valley was a whole.
Right.
And that it didn't matter which side of the river you were on. And that at one point, and I had heard from historians that right there to the left of the island in our photo that we're looking at, mm-hmm. Was actually a farmland where that Indian individual was growing crops for mm-hmm. those that would come up and on the ferry boats, on the big paddle wheelers, and he was providing food as they would go up and down the river. A lot of the miners.
Are you talking approximately where that Windsor area
is?
That's
correct.
Right there?
Okay. That's absolutely correct. Okay. They actually had to hogtie him to get him off the land when they released the water in the dam.
Wow.
Which I thought was a fascinating story mm-hmm. because he didn't believe it. And I think everybody was in awe when the water started to flood the area.
Right.
And it took time. So, Daniel, the reservation, one of the things that fascinated me was the size of the Chemehuevi Reservation. It's considered one of the largest in the area, isn't that correct?
There's a lot of shoreline.
Yes, I believe 28 to 30 plus miles of shoreline.
Wow.
32,000 acres, somewhat. And our reservation goes out to the state line, which is, I believe, divided right down the middle of the lake.
So when you come off the road in California as you're driving into the landing, right, not taking the boat but driving in,
right.
Where does the boundary start on that road?
Oh, almost.
Is it right when you turn off?
Yeah, well, almost when you get into the lake, you know where the Sure Station is right there?
Yes.
There's that power line that goes right across the road. That's our boundary right there. Then you go on the reservation and you kind of come off and you see our store right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it loops by the sail in. That's off reservation. And you go up around by Vista del Lago. Once you drop down the hill by Vista del Lago, then you're back on reservation. So that's known as Section 36. So there's three sides of a reservation. So it is directly related to our lands.
So this land didn't come easy. I mean, you had to really work for it. It didn't just show up in your lap. There was a lot of anguish and a lot of work that was involved to acquire that land. Maybe you can share a little bit of that with us.
Yeah, and for me to give that story, it's proper honor. I'm gonna go off the story of my grandmother.
Okay.
Her name's Kankiwa. She was her name's Hillside. She used to play on the hills of this of the uh, of of Iquilham.
Okay.
It's a Mojave word for that mountain, and it's a longer word, but us as Nuwuchum, we identify it as Iquilham.
Iquilham, okay.
And,
and just so we know, so you know what Daniel's talking about, he's talking about the mountains directly behind Lake Havasu.
Correct. Yeah, so my grandmother used to play on those hills as a child growing up. She was born in Suavitz. Her father, Chief Sewindeep, Henry Hanks, was born in Suavitz. And his father, Chief Pancorier, was born in Suavitz. And they're the hereditary chiefs of this band of Chemehue of Nuwu. And so from the time she was a little girl, and then the dam was being built, she remembers going over the mountains, over Wiatu, which is Whipples, and she's going over there in a wagon, and down to Crit, because I can't remember the time before the flooding of the lake. Chemehues were in Crit to establish the Crit tribe along with the Navajo and the Hopi migrants in order for them to create the Colorado River Indian tribes.
Gotcha.
And so what was federally recognized as Chemehue was only represented by Crit until my grandmother and a lot of other Chemehues were able to get enough signatures to establish the Chemehue Indian Reservation. And as her dream as a child is always looking north over Huayatu, you know, looking at the mountains at her home, at this place here where they always wanted to come back to. When that opportunity presented itself with enough signatures to where they broke away from the Crit and opened up the rolls and established the Chemehue Indian Reservation, and all those that returned home were the base enrollees of the Chemehue Indian tribe. Now, the Chemehue Indian tribe represents the hereditary bloodlines of Suavitzi, from Chief Pancorier to Chief Sewindeep to Kankiwa to my father and to my, you know, to his children. And the other people that were a part of the tribal roles represented fragments of other places, along with other different bands that aren't fairly recognized. So we kind of raked them in, and so what's represented here in our membership is the Hawkwatz band. You know, a lot of people associate that with the last name of Hawk. Mm-hmm. But it's the Hawkwatz band from the Ivanpah Valley in the Clark Mountain, Mount Potosi. That's an observatory up there because it's a great place to look at the stars. And that was a big part of our cultural identity, that ability to connect with the stars because of our cultural relationship with astronomy. Because how we believe is the stars are all there as a path that was set forth by the ancestors during the mystic era of times of creation. Where all the animals were, you know, they were the first ones, and until we were created, you know, so there's a line of the animals came first, and then the people were created, and we spoke, you know, they taught us everything, how to live on this land.
Okay.
And a lot of our identifying relations are based on those associations.
We were talking about the dams and things like that. It started. They started filling in about 1938, mm-hmm. And so that's when the timeline, so people can understand what you were describing, about 1938, and I do remember hearing about some of the transitions, the efforts that were made after that.
Yes, in those days, the Metropolitan Water District lobbied Congress in the 20s and 25 on up, until it was selected as a site for a reservoir. This all set off from the challenges in the water attainment from the Owens Valley.
Sure.
And what was going on with the settlers and their rights,
right.
And the natives, and they didn't have no rights to the land in the valley. And so this site was selected for removal of our people, and that happened in
oh really?
Yeah, our people were here. We were recognized by the government to have 1 million acres in, I believe, 1907, And then that got dwindled back until the site was selected for disposal.
Right. I remember it was going back and forth, and back reading about it was it makes your head spin because it was a little dizzy.
Wow.
So I think we're going to get ready to take a quick break.
Yes, sir.
We're here with Daniel Evis, who's the chairman for the Shimowave Tribal Council across the lake, giving us some history, some foundation about information most of us have never heard before, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, I have to admit I hadn't heard a lot of that. So, anyway, Havasu Pioneers Radio Show brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. We're going to take a short break. Dan, are we taking calls today?
We are.
Okay, give them a phone number. 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR, or text us at 928-727-5566. We'll be back with more on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show in a moment. Stay with us.
On your silver sheet, in your rusty scabbard now, the sand has taken seat, and though your jewel encrusted blade has not been plundered still. Now I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am stuck in the middle. I'm stuck in the middle with you, and I'm wondering what it is I should do.
All right, welcome back. It's the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Never said the show number. I was a little unsure at the time. Number 73.
That's right. That's right. It's a great number.
It's like an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Right? A right or left tackle. Exactly. Or one of the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? The Steel Curtain. All right, Havasu Pioneers Radio Show and Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford by Mojave Electric Cooperative. Just Meats, TWN Fiber Internet. Also, Salmon's Air Conditioning. Perkins of Bullhead City. Or Perkins American Food Company. Also, Springberg Wealth Management. Blonzi Steakhouse, North London Bridge Road. And by A&B Propane, AB Propane. AZ.com. And Marissa's coffee is pretty special from what I understand.
That's what I'm understanding. Daniel's just loving it. We're
in
here.
One segment, he downed a cup of coffee. It was like, wow.
We're here today with Daniel Evis from the Shimowave Tribal Council, and Daniel is the chairman. And Daniel's sharing some really amazing information with us. And, you know, so far we've covered some foundation about who the Shimowave people are. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about the reservation itself, Daniel. I mean, how big of a reservation is it? I mean, is it little? Is it big? I mean, is it considered one of the largest in the area?
Yes, it is a pretty good sized reservation. 30 plus miles of shoreline, 32,000 acres. It's basically broken up into two northern and southern sections. You know, the southern section is an enterprise known as the Oasis at the Palms, Ghost Mine Saloon. Mm-hmm. You know, great you know, vibe with the place. You know, go down and pay them a visit. They got some good food. And on the northern side of our reservation is where we have our tribal government, our housing, the enterprise, the Havasu Landing Resort enterprise, and our casino is part of the Havasu Landing Resort, and so that is generally our reservation is the northern and southern, but the topography as far as development is a great challenge. You know, our southern reservation it's mainly an off-road areas as adjacent to BLM lands, and
so let me ask you a question. How many members do we have?
Membership, yeah, we're around 1400 members in our roles.
Wow, that's a much bigger number than I had originally thought.
Yeah, I was like around the 390th or so. Oh, wow. Tribal really? Member of the wow. tribe. Really? I was enrolled sometime in the, I believe 1980 or 81. I moved up here in 1977, mm-hmm. and so I have a really good insight as to the development and the growth of our reservation government and lands, and also witnessing the growth and development of Lake Havasu City.
You know, I really want to touch on that real quick, Daniel, because I think for a lot of people, and fortunately, I had the opportunity to be on the landing side a big part of my younger years. But it's a completely different life. Mm-hmm. It's not like Havasu City. It's Havasu Landing area. It's the Shimawevi Reservation. You know, when we talk about growth, it's a different kind of growth, right?
Right.
I mean, it, and you know, you're growing spiritually, you're growing knowledge, support, strength with the tribal council and the reservation members. And so what was life like, you know, through those growing years?
Oh man. Oh, I got to understand one thing too, that it was the 70s and 80s, right?
Right.
It was a
right.
whole different era.
Oh,
and,
sure.
I mean, we drank from the hose.
Right.
You know? Yeah. We rubbed dirt on it when you get a scratch or something, you know? We build up those immune systems and all those good things.
No know? Helmets when you're riding a bike.
Right. And, you know, you sit, go to McDonald's and take the ashtrays.
Right, right, right.
Who knows about that, right?
Right, right, right,
so
right, right.
That type of you know, era is you know, we're far beyond that. But
yeah.
with the
I know that ashtray. It's from Needles. It's from McDonald's. Okay.
McDonald's. So, growing up on the reservation in during those times, we used to come across like on a boat, like they used to have a little jet boat and, you know, pontoon boat or whatever. And so we were able to purchase a boat, and it was named the Pan Courier. Pan Courier was after the chief, Chief Pan Courier, mm-hmm. my family's great-great-grandfather. He was the signer of the Five Tribes Peace Treaty.
Really?
You know, and the Five Tribes Peace Treaty was, you know, kind of instrumental in you know, the settlers and you know, ensuring that they have their rights, were able to settle and to come across the land. And you know, so as far as the self-preservation, you know, and the sharing of the land and all that, you know, in order to, because during those times we had cavalry and all these other things too, and the Mojave tribe never signed that peace treaty, so that, you know, there's that dynamic on that too.
So people think of owning land. A good example, Lake Havasu City, we've got thousands of lots, right?
Right.
What's that definition for a tribal member on the reservation? What is there such a thing as owning a segment of land, or are you just there because it's owned by everyone? How does that work?
That's a good question.
Well, we got a designated area of land it's called, known as Lakeside Subdivision, and that would be the colony area between the Mesa and the resort.
Okay. Is that north of States or
no?
Okay.
It's below the Mesa, south
okay.
of the Mesa, in the casino.
Okay.
Those lands we had to go to court for, and because the previous tenants didn't want to vacate, and their lease was up. Once their lease was up, we evicted them, and so we had to go through court to kind of get those land back. And once we were able to do that, we put it out to membership and broke it up into plots. So that's the concept is to bring the membership back to have a land assignment, and they can, you know, put a home. So
okay.
You were talking about the 1,400 members?
Right.
Okay. How many of those are elders, and what is considered a tribal elder?
Oh, elder.
It's quite an honor, right?
Yes. Well, I believe an elder would be your seniors. We have some young elders also, because
really?
The concept of an elder is not really based on age.
Wisdom.
Know, wisdom, mm-hmm. knowledge, a mannerism, you know, how you conduct yourself, you know, whether you're giving or sharing or growing or promoting the goodness of the people, you know. Yeah, so that would be very minimal right now.
How many elders are in your tribe?
That would be very minimal.
Oh, minimal. Right? Okay.
Yeah, minimal right now. We're losing a lot of elders. We just lost our previous chair, Mr. Woods. Yeah. Ehype.
Rest in peace.
An amazing man.
He was.
Yeah, we just, you know, so a lot, the time is going forward always, and every time we go forward, you know, we lose some of our people along the way, and it's just getting to that day where the elders are you know, the ones leaving, and so with that said, our elders are there. We have more children than we do the, you know, the elders so we grew from around 400 on up to 1,400. So over the past, you know, few decades.
Right. Dan, you ready to take a break?
Sure. Let's take one more break. We'll be right back. We're with Daniel Levis today with the Shimawevi Reservation.
Right.
Wow. Where did my voice go?
I want to come back. I'm not sure where Dan wants to go, but I would like to know with the language, the indigenous language, the Shimawevi, are you teaching it to everybody, you know, preserving that? Not right now. We'll talk about that after the break.
Okay.
Right? All right. Back with more in a moment. Here's a little Blackfoot, Wishing Well. One of my favorite bands from the 70s, by the way. You remember Blackfoot?
No.
Train? No? We'll play some when you come back. Boy, Dan's got a real... Whew, what's going on, huh? All right. Back with more in a moment. If you want to call in, it's 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR. Stay with us on Speak Out. It's the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, number 73. Back on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. This is Speak Out, Havasu Pioneers Radio Show number 73 with host Dan De Los Santos right next to me, right in the sidecar, right?
You betcha, Bill.
All right. Speak Out brought to you by The Chair, also Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, SamsGuns.com, also Solar Power by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place, The Lewis Team with Bobby and Julie Lewis, and Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City. And don't forget, Havasu Pioneers Radio Show brought to you exclusively by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Dan, did you want me to bring up that topic again about the language and the younger tribal members? Are you teaching the Shimawevi language? I noticed you speak it quite well. At least it sounds like you do.
Well, I'm learning. Like I said, there's a lot of different ways to speak. Which I'm learning is, you know, people say tomato, people say tomato,
sure.
People say tamoto.
So there's a dialect.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so there's multiple dialects, you know, and each, you know, different bands from different areas as associated with the people in those areas as far as other tribes.
Right.
You know, you kind of talk the way they talk over there, kind of like if you go to Australia, you'll kind of get that Australian type of
sure.
You know, dialect or whatever. So the language is broken up into like different dialects like that also based on location. But my auntie June Levis, she's a carrier of the language. She has a dictionary she's working with. It's her lifelong ambition to finish that and create that dictionary for the Shimawevi language. She does language classes. She's our cultural director at the tribe,
mm-hmm.
and doing cultural sensitivity for the employees. You know, so just kind of really lifting that conscience of who we are to each other. You know, and a lot of times we don't really know a lot of things because it's like the elders that represented that, you know, a lot of them aren't here anymore. And also associated with that language and identity is like how we see ourselves as natives, you know, as Native Americans, so whether it's, you know, something you grew up with or something you've learned and it lights the fire in your heart to want to learn. And so personally, I see in the future, a resurgence and revitalization of our language, of our culture, of our spirituality, you know, and our connections with us, with the land. It is a part of our fabric that is in our DNA, and it's something that we cherish, and we want to encourage our membership, you know, to learn as much as they can, and with what resources we have. But there is a rebirth, a resurgence of our language, you know, and people like my auntie June, you know, is a big part of that.
Wow.
And her worker Bridget Sendate, you know, she really has the fire in her heart to go out there and grab it and learn it. So that's what we want to try to do, encourage us to, you know, spread that fire in the hearts of the people.
I met Bridget. She was on the show a few years ago. Yeah.
So go ahead, Dan. I want to touch on just a couple things here because we're getting winding down to the end of the hour, but I wanted to touch on something back in the 70s because as a young boy, you know, I watched the land lease owners of the landing mistreat, quite frankly, the tribal members horribly. It was the most unimaginable thing I'd ever seen in my life. You'd think you'd just see that on TV, but this was real.
Racism.
And if they didn't want the members to be of the tribe to be in the campgrounds where all the tourists were, they would not cash their checks. They'd make them drive all the way to Havasu, to Needles, California, to cash their checks so that they could buy groceries. It was horrible.
Yeah.
And there were several people that were instigators, that were, well aware. Most people were very well aware who they were. But there were also family members that were not that way, that were part of the community. And when that lease was up, those individuals, who mistreated, the tribal members were asked to leave, abruptly, I might add. One house, I think, even caught on fire, which was really interesting.
Oh, wow.
But I want to make mention of the families that were well-received, the individuals that stayed, that are still part of that community in many ways, is Johnny Ash, Bobby Benjamin, Little Louie. We just lost a young boy named Peanut Head, who was just a favorite of ours, and Diane Holly, Barbara Lucas, Susan, and just there's a number of individuals that are made made up this list. There are more folks, and I just wanted to reach out and make sure that they knew that we were thinking of them. And Daniel, you know a lot of these people. They continue to be what we would perceive as part of the community.
Yes. These people have been a part of the community for decades and decades. And when I moved up here in 77, I was 4 years old. And so as far as the business aspect of the cashing checks and all that, I was probably unaware or oblivious to those facts. But I'm not sure what year, but when the tribe finally was able to purchase the enterprise, and
yes,
it just completely changed everything, and we were able to grow and develop and, you know, off of that.
So when we talk about the evolution of the tribal council, the reservation, and the things that you've mentioned, education about language, everything. You know, it's not just that we've seen. I recently had the honor of having you with us over at the Kids on the Colorado Educational Program, which has won the state's highest award for ecology education. And you were physically the person teaching over 450 students. You came on, you got your hands dirty, you got in there with large descriptive billboards of information and maps, and you commanded the audience with these kids, and I looked at them, and they were so incredibly interested in what you had to say.
That was a very, very great experience. I mean, to have that opportunity to illuminate, you know, who we are, our culture, in a way of, you know, to children, you know, I mean, to give them an insight as to, you know, history, culture, and a way of seeing, you know.
Correct.
It was it was a complete honor. you know, just to give that insight as to, you know, as natives, we always say water is life, you know.
Sure.
Like, how is that? You know, and to be able to describe that to a bunch of children, to see the world and the surrounding as far as the spiritual aspect.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, wow, you know.
And these are 450 of our local students here in Lake Havasu City. And I really want our listeners to understand, we can't expect our children to learn or understand or comprehend things about our lake, our environment, our neighbors across the lake, the reservation, without this type of an education. Now that we have incorporated the Shimoevi aspect into that education, it's every year they will be part of that program. They'll be educating our students going forward. And things like this show today will help educate some of the adults. And so we're going to be, again, going into a second, third, and fourth segment of this phase of the show. And so look for the topics to be mentioned. Daniel and I will be coming up with some really exciting new information that you folks have never heard before. Anything to add to that, Daniel?
Yes, I just like to say, come over, visit us. You know, there's a casino there. There's a hotel there. There's off-roading. There's, you know, I had some people that had come over when I was a farm manager. That come up to the farm and get melons and stuff.
Sure.
And they'd come out, pick their own melons, and I'd take them down the boat and put them on the boat for them and stuff like that. And so that was great. The 360,000 passengers in 2025 that visited us,
wow,
you know, is up 10,000 from the year previous.
On the Tacopa.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Tacopa runs on weekends.
And the Dreamcatcher.
The Dreamcatcher.
Oh, and the Dreamcatcher. Okay.
Right.
So they both run.
So, Daniel, who should they reach out to for more information about Havasu Landing and the Shimoevi Reservation? Is there a resource?
Wow, that's a good question.
Okay.
We would have to establish that. But, I mean, sure. You could reach out to our cultural center,
yep.
and our resort. We have a few things that we would like to incorporate into the resort as far as history, you know, for public to get some of this knowledge and just to share this information. History of the land of the Little Shimoevi Valley that
ran
down to the palms and stuff, and the red clay, and then the association with the Redfoot clan as far as, you know, the peoples, and so there's a lot.
I think one of our topics will be the next time is the off-roading, how to respect the land,
right,
how not to tear up the resources that you have and you're protecting. So that might be one of the topics that we'll bring up on our next show.
We had a great show out with our poker run, and I just want to give everybody that was involved with that a thumbs up and a kudos and a big thank you, mach, you know, because they there was no trash. They did a good job respecting
Wonderful.
The land, and it just and you know, it was a good event. I just want
nice.
To thank the people for all that partook in that.
Right.
And so our next show will be in February, and that's going to be Wednesday, February 4th at noon. And so we're going to have, we'll either bring back the Shimoevi folks or we'll have another topic. But again, we're going to break these shows up over the course of this 2026 year. And so stay tuned. Keep an eye out for the ads for the show. And Paul, thanks for having us on today.
Absolutely. Marissa June wanted to thank you for being here. And the coffee, anytime, she said.
Yeah,
anytime.
Right.
She makes good coffee, her and her Keurig over there. Speaking of Marissa June, provided me with this piece of rock and roll history. This goes back to Pioneers days, by the way, Dan.
Awesome.
This week, yesterday, in fact, 1969, Led Zeppelin wraps up their first North American tour at the Whiskey A Go Go.
Oh, wow.
1969, yeah. And then In Through the Outdoor goes platinum today in 1980. I remember that. That's scary.
So, yeah, we're getting a lot of kudos. Jimmy Tedeschi, thanks so much for chiming in, Susan Florek, a lot of people, and Bob Hannigan, thank you for listening in on the show. A lot of folks from around the country, actually, are listening in on this show that are from Lake Havasu City and the Landing also.
That's a great idea right there. Drop people's names on the radio like
that.
Oh,
well, they're chiming in.
Yeah, that's
they're
awesome.
All saying
we should
hi.
Do that every show.
You bet. So,
right.
Folks, keep an eye out because 2006 is going to have some of the most remarkable topics that we're going to be sharing.
Nice. We're going to take a short break. Hopefully we'll have time to come right back right before we go to the top of the hour. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. All right, Dan DeLosantos back with us. We have about 30 seconds, Dan.
You know what? I was going to say to all our listeners, if you've got a topic you haven't heard yet on the Havasu Pioneers radio show, drop us a line, send me a text, jump on the Havasu Pioneers page, and share your thoughts and what you'd like to hear, and we may just put the show together just for you.
Dan's always looking for those.
You betcha.
All right. District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould on tomorrow's show. And we'll see him then. We'll see Hannity next. Karate Man coming up after news and a short break. Stay with us all afternoon on KNTR Talk.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.